God wants to use you the way He made you. God wants to use you the way He made you. So the title of our series is, Be Yourself, Submit It to God. Be yourself, submit it to God, okay? If you just be yourself, that's not good. Because we are sinful by nature. It is easier for us to sin than it is for us to do right. So we don't want to just be ourselves, but we do want to be ourselves submitted to God. Because God wants to use you the way He made you. Let me change gears. Church growth creates problems. Church growth creates problems. Most of us preachers, and many of you, are concerned about the problems that the lack of church growth creates. Right? Most of us live through that problem because the church is not growing. But if the church were growing, there would still be problems. Because church growth creates problems. So it wouldn't be like we wouldn't have any problems, we just have different problems. They wouldn't be the same problem, but they would be problems. Acts chapter 6, I hope you'll look at it in your Bible, or either on that sheet I gave you. Acts chapter 6, very early in the history of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000 people who became Christians. On the first day of the church, the birthday of the church, 3,000 people became Christians. So the church started out as what we would consider a mega church, right? 3,000 members the very first day. As a preacher, I always joke and say, I wonder if Peter knew all their names. You know, could he have spoke to them individually and said, this is who you are, John and Paul and all those. But anyway, a little bit later it said they had 5,000 men. And if they had 5,000 men, they probably had 10,000 members. So here we got in chapter 6, we have a problem that's caused by church growth. It says, at that time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose. That's a strange church, have complaints in the church. Who ever heard tell of such a thing? There was somebody in the church complaining. For those of you who got angry, but that's supposed to be a joke, okay? Don't get upset about that. At this time, when the disciples were increasing in number, the church was growing, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. Okay? They were all Jews at this point. They were all Jews. But even as Jews, there was a division between the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebrew Jews. So there was a division between the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebrew Jews. And the Hellenistic Jews were saying, we're not being treated fairly. We're not being treated fairly. You're showing favoritism to the Hebrew Jews. You're showing favoritism to the Hebrew Jews. He said, well, Lee, what in the world is a Hebrew Jew and what is a Hellenistic Jew? What difference is that? A Jew's a Jew, right? Well, now the difference is Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great spread the Greek language and the Greek culture all over everywhere. And so these Jews who had moved out of Jerusalem area, out of the Holy Land. They were Jews. They were Jews religiously, but they did not speak Aramaic or Hebrew. They spoke Greek. And not only did they speak Greek, they were involved in Greek culture, which was different than the Jewish culture. But then when all these people came back to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost and became Christians when they were there, many of them stayed a long time. And so the widows were involved in the church and had become Christians. And what was happening was the church had started a benevolence program in which they feeding the people who needed food. And the 12 apostles were doing it all. How many members did I guess that they had? About 10,000. Had 12 ministers. If you were to go to churches in America and look at the active members and the number of ministers, they work out to be one minister of about every 100 members. Now, once in a while, you'll find an exception to that. But most of the time, it works out to about one minister for every 100 members. Here was 12 ministers. And if I count it right, it's only 11. But anyway, they still call them the 12. But 12 ministers and about 10,000 members. And the Bible says there were 5,000, so we know there were 5,000. But anyway, in the process of trying to preach the word and evangelize and helping the Christians to grow and feed the poor people, some of them were being overlooked. And those who didn't speak Aramaic, those who didn't speak Hebrew, those who didn't speak the language of the city they were living in there, were being overlooked. I don't think anybody thinks they were overlooked intentionally, but they were being overlooked. And what do you do when you're in church and things don't go right? You complain, right? You tell somebody, this is not right. It ought to be different than this. This is not right. So there arose a complaint on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12, that's the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." Far as I know, this is the first congregational meeting. Okay. They had a congregational meeting to solve this problem. We would have had a board meeting to solve the problem, or elders meeting. They had a congregational meeting. They called the congregation of the disciples together and said, if you allow me to paraphrase, it's getting too much for us to preach the word and to serve the food. It's too much for us to do. We've been doing it, but we hadn't been doing a good job. Some people are being left out. So whenever you got a problem, what do? Find a solution. Problems are not unusual. Everybody has problems. Problems are a normal part of life. Once in a while, you run across somebody and say, "I wish I didn't have any problems." The only people I know that don't have problems are those that are down in the cemetery, and part of them probably got problems. Right? So if you are alive, you're going to have problems. Problems are a normal part of life. Small churches, churches that are having trouble, struggling, have problems. But churches that are growing, that you think, boy, things are going great there, they have problems. Everybody has problems. So you find out what the problem is, and then you try to solve it. And what they said was, we've been, and I'm, again, just paraphrasing, putting some extra words in here, but anyway, we've been trained by Jesus. He trained us for 3 years to minister the word, to serve the word. We've been serving the word and serving tables. We're not doing a good job because we're not specialized. We're trying to do too many different things. Any of you ever run into that problem? We're trying to do too many different things. We're going off in too many different directions. So what we need to do is we need to get somebody else to do part of this work. "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren," I want you to pay attention to the word brethren, okay? Who is he talking to when he says brethren? Christians. He'd called a congregational meeting. He called the congregation of the disciples together and said, "Brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, that we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So the solution to the problem was division of labor. We're going to select some people, you do this part. We're going to select other people, you do this part. We've been doing it all, but we've been not doing a good job of it. So if we'll get some people who are specialized, they do this part, and we'll do this part. We've been trained by Jesus to minister the word, so that's what we'll do. We'll select these 7 men to serve tables. Now, the fascinating part is, if you're going to serve tables in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some stringent requirements. If you're going to serve tables, you're just going to serve the food. That's all you're going to do. There are some stringent requirements to serve tables in God's church. Now, the first one, almost everybody I ever talked to missed the first one. They get 3 out of 4, but they missed the first one. If you look at verse 3, almost everybody thinks there are 3 requirements listed. There are really 4 requirements listed. The first one is, brethren, select men from among you. So what's the first requirement if you're going to serve tables in the house of the Lord? You got to be a Christian. That's the first requirement. You got to be a Christian. Well, Lee, if we use them non-Christians, maybe they will become Christians. You know what? I've seen that happen back home. I grew up in the country, a lot of poor folks. There's some poor folks in the city too, but I mean, I grew up around a lot of poor folks. And when most of the time, not my home church, but a lot of times, churches, when they were going to add on to their building, they did it. And when people began working on their church on Saturdays and on their days off and all that kind of stuff, neighborhood people who were not Christians would come and help them. And there occasionally was somebody won to Christ because they had helped work on the building. They were around Christians and they liked the Christians and they got involved. And so they were non-Christians doing work for Christians and they were won to Christ. So that is possible. But the fact is here, the first requirement was they do what? Be Christians. That was the first one. Brethren, select from among you 7 men. The next thing is they had to have a good reputation. They had to have a good reputation. That probably means they were good people. They had a good reputation. It is possible for a good person to get a bad reputation. That happens occasionally. But most of the time, if you have a good reputation, you're a pretty good person, right? So if you're going to represent the church, even in serving tables, you got to have a good reputation. They don't want people that's known to be sinful and terrible and evil people working in the church. Why not? That hurts the reputation of the church. So the first requirement is you got to be Christian. The second requirement is you got to have a good reputation. Then they got to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Full of the Spirit, and I looked up that Greek word, it means they were covered with the Spirit. As we studied being full of the Spirit, you're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? To be controlled by the Spirit, okay? This is a requirement. The man we're going to talk about today, twice more in the text, they're going to say that he was full of the Spirit. He was controlled by the Holy Spirit. He was also full of wisdom. You got to feed widows, and we already know they will complain if there's a problem. So you want somebody that's got enough common sense to do the job. Just common sense. And wisdom and knowledge is related, but they're not the same thing. Some people have a lot of knowledge and no wisdom. And once in a while, you'll run across somebody that don't have any education and are very, very wise. You ever run across somebody like that? They use bad grammar and all kinds of stuff, and they're not educated. People don't have a lot of knowledge, but they're very, very wise. They just seem to understand how things work. So I want you to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. I'm going to put them in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. They were going to dedicate themselves to the spiritual aspect. These people are going to dedicate their activities to the physical aspect. Now, the Bible never calls these people deacons. Okay? The word deacons means servant, and a servant serves. It does say these people are going to serve, the verb, but it never calls them by the noun. It never calls them deacons. Most Bible students I know think they were deacons, but they were really not ever called deacons. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. They chose Stephen, a man full of Two things. Faith and the Holy Spirit. I already said that's a requirement for him to do it. So if they were meeting the requirement, we already knew he met that requirement. But it mentions it again. He was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of faith. Okay? They chose Stephen and then all those other people I can't pronounce. Okay? Then they brought them for the apostles and they laid their hands on them. They set them apart for the work. You ever been involved in when a church set apart deacons, we ordained them? Oh, we set apart missionaries. My home church, just this week, my home church, I had about 10 people going to Nicaragua on a mission trip, a short-term mission trip. I don't know what they did, but normally if we do something like that, we set them apart. We pray for them. So the apostles prayed for these seven men, special prayer for them for this job they were going to do. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. In other words, there was a problem. The church was growing too fast. They created problems. And if they had not solved the problem, the church would have probably stopped growing. They had not solved the problem. It would have probably ended things. Because what happened when people get to complaining and you don't listen to their complaints? You get eternal fighting. And when you're fighting each other, you're not fighting Satan. And when you're not fighting Satan, he wins. So the result of them selecting these seven men, the Bible says, the inspired word of God says, the word of God kept on spreading. In other words, it kept going. It kept growing as a church. We're going to talk about Stephen, who was one of these seven. I want to ask you, what was he chosen to do? Serve tables. That was his job, to serve tables. That was his specific job. They gave him that job. They assigned that job to him and six other people. And they prayed for him that that's what he was going to do. Look at 6:8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. What's that got to do with serving tables? Performing great wonders and signs. What's another word for that? Miracles. So Stephen was performing miracles. He was supposed to be a deacon, just serving tables. You know, stay over there. do that job. Look at verse 10. They were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Oh, he didn't just keep his mouth shut. Even though he was a deacon and his job was to do the deaconing job, what else was he doing? He was preaching the word. He was preaching the word. So if you are selected to do a certain job in the church, that doesn't mean that you don't do the other stuff too. That doesn't mean that, well, I can stop evangelizing because I'm a deacon now. No, you still got to be concerned about spreading the word. I don't care what you do in the church. Don't matter what your job is. You still need to be concerned about spreading the word. And he was doing that. And then they were unable to unable to cope with his wisdom and the Spirit. Verse 3, it said, make sure he's full of wisdom and full of the Spirit. Now we have a Bible record saying the people out there who are not Christians can't deal with that. He's more powerful than they are because he's got wisdom and he's got the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 says they saw his face like an angel, the council did. Look at 7, chapter 7, verse 51. Let me talk just a minute about chapter 7. Stephen is mentioned in Acts chapter 6 and 7. He was chosen as a deacon and he got to preaching, and we have a record of his sermon in Acts chapter 7. Chosen in 6, Acts chapter 7, we have a record of his sermon. Tell me again what position we think he had. He was a deacon. They accused him of being against the temple and the Jewish religion and all that kind of stuff. So he made a defense of himself. He was defending himself. Guess what he did when he defended himself? He quoted 90 passages of Scripture from 10 Old Testament books. He quoted or paraphrased 90 passages of Scripture from 10 Old Testament books. I Occasionally, when my memory used to be better, and I used more memory verses when I preached, and a lot of times I would use a lot of verses in a sermon, somebody would go to the door and said, "You use too many Bible verses, I couldn't check you out. I couldn't keep up with you." So I can just see somebody tell it, "Stephen, you use too many Bible verses, I couldn't keep up." But anyway, he quoted or paraphrased 90 passages of Scripture. And he was just a deacon. He wasn't one of the ones that was supposed to be dedicating himself to prayer and the ministry of the word. He was supposed to be involved in serving tables. And yet, he knew Scripture well enough that he could make a speech and quote or paraphrase 90 different passages from 10 Old Testament books. And that's what you see him doing in Acts chapter 7. One of those verses, verse 51, says, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in years are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did." If you preach the word many, many times, you confront sin. In fact, it's kind of hard to preach the word without confronting sin. And he confronted them personally. He said, "You are rejecting the Holy Spirit just like your forefathers did." And in the Bible, whenever you preach the word, whenever you preach the word in the Bible, something good happened or something bad happened, but something always happened. Okay. It may have been something good or it may have been something bad. It was always something. You either converted 3,000 people. Peter's sermon, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, about half of it was Scripture. 3,000 people became Christians. Stephen quoted 90 different passages of Scripture, quoted or paraphrased 90 passages of Scripture from 10 Old Testament books. What happened to him? They put him to death. Something always happened. Now, the tragedy in America is that we can preach the word and people ignore it. They don't pay attention. They just don't pay attention. I mean, there are people preaching on the TV and on the radio and in churches and billboards, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. People don't pay attention. They just ignore it. Nothing happened. Nothing good happened. Nothing bad happened. Just ignore it. But in the Bible, you just notice when the word of God is spoken, something always happened. And what happened here was they put him to death. Look at verses 59 and 60 of chapter 7. "They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep." As you read that passage, who do you think of? Jesus. If you're going to be a Christian, one of the greatest things you can do is imitate Jesus. But it's not always easy to imitate Jesus if they're stoning you to death. I mean, you know, I'm not going to imitate him when everything's going right. But when everything's going wrong and they're throwing rocks at me, I'm not sure I can do it then. What I want to do, I want to throw one back, don't you? Now, we had people this week, the reason the sign out there is blank, we had people this week take our letters off our sign and make dirty words out of them and put them on the sign. And somebody called me on the phone, "You got dirty words on your church sign." Okay. And so I went out there and the lady that called me fixed it. She took all the dirty words off, and then she called me and told me why she had changed our sign. And I went out there and adjusted them a little bit, and they came back and did it again. Guess what I wanted to do? "Lord, forgive them." No, that's not what I said, okay? I said, "Let's put up a camera and put them in jail." And I was willing to spend the money for the church to spend it. Let's put some cameras on that thing, and whoever does it, let's put them in jail. Stephen wasn't like that. Stephen said, "Lord, forgive them." And they were stoning him to death. Let me just tell you, usually I try to make 3 points. Let me make 2. Okay? Imitate Jesus and quote the word. Imitate Jesus and quote the word. Somebody may kill you, but that's all right. That's all right. Do it anyway. That's the kind of man he was. And you don't hear anything else about him. Chapter 6 and 7. They elected him as a deacon. He was full of the Spirit. He was full of wisdom. He was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. He preached, quoted, or paraphrased 90 different passages. And as they stoned him to death, he copied the same thing Jesus did when he was dying. Basically, Lord, receive my spirit and forgive them for doing it. So imitate Jesus and quote Scripture. And let God take care of the results.